And Chevra, the learning tonight, first of all, as always, is for a L'ilui Nishmas, Binyam Pinchas, Binyal Baruch, Shalom Shav Bigli and Shabbayim.
Amen.
We learn tonight also for Refuah Shleima. Refuah Shleima, first of all, for Rivka, Bas Forchana, Shav Refuah Yeshuas Bakarov. We're also learning for Shalema for Sarah Yael Bas Bracha Esther Shemafu Shalema Bakar of Mamish.
Always.
It's just to have back a few of the Chevra from Eretz Yisrael. You feel Avira Da'ara in the bias. Emma says it's the biggest chus when I'm with you there. That's the truth. Much bigger chus when I'm with you there. And hopefully the stay here should be very short. And you came back to me, Mechazik, all of us. Mirz Hashem, we'll go back together, Bekar of Mamish, Bez Hashem. We're preparing for Chodesh Nisan. Still, don't worry, there's still a few more days to Adar. We're not saying goodbye yet to Adar. We still have the Simcha of Adar. But Emes is, it's not scary going into Nisan, because not only do we have Pesach to look forward to, but as we've said over before, Rashi in Tainis, Daf Chav Tesem and Aleph, on the words of Mishenichmas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, that when you enter into the month of Adar, you enhance your Simcha, says, Minisim Shel Purim U'Pesach. The Simcha, the enhanced Simcha of Adar, is from Purim and Pesach, which means it's not just Adar, but also Nisan. And therefore, whatever Simcha we're enjoying continues into the month of Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is very special. Rosh Chodesh, we can have Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh, which discusses Rosh Chodesh, but not just Tam Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the first Rosh Chodesh. The first Rashi in Old Bereishis says, Amar Rav Yitzchak lo yatzarech lahaschla zatorah l'mechodesh zelechem. She mitzvah rishonah she estavah v'yisrael. Rashi suggests, and he has reasons why not, but that it should be, he quotes Rav Yitzchak, Chazal, that what? That we should start the entire Torah from HaChodesh HaLechem. That's where it should begin. Because that was the first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael. Rosh Chodesh, and specifically Rosh Chodesh Nisan. First mitzvah, but the first mitzvah must be fundamental, it must be inspirational, it must be something very, very special. If you were involved, and hopefully we're all involved in some level, in Kiruv, and trying to be Makariv, others being closer to, we all have to be involved in Kiruv. Even if we don't call ourselves Kiruv experts, even if we don't go into the profession of Chinuch, we don't have to be involved in being Mashpia and bringing others closer to Hashem. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, by the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, says that's what the mitzvah of Avas Hashem is, to be Mekayim Mitzvot Avas Hashem. Because if you love somebody so much, you want everyone else to love him as well. You want everyone else to feel that. So you're going to bring others close to Hashem. All of us have to be involved in this. And you're trying to be Mekayim of someone, and you try to inspire them with a particular mitzvah. You start, the mitzvah you start with should be something inspirational, something special. Shabbos Kodesh. Whatever it might be. Here, Rosh Hashem starts, HaChodesh HaLechem. And specifically again, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What's so special about Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh Nisan that it's the first mitzvah to Klal Yisrael? We've spoken about this before, but I want to share in a different light. You know, every month, every Chodesh has its mazel. Right, we all know, everybody knows Adar's mazel. Mazel, we think the word mazel means, oh, the fish, there's still a few left over there, yeah. We have the dogim over there, the fish from Purim. The mazel of Adar is dogim. The mazel could mean luck. We'll get back to that word, why it's called luck, but mazel is the constellation of the month. And everybody knows Purim is dogim. A lot of people know Tishrei. Our scales, I don't know the constellation name for it, whatever it might be. For the month of Nisan, the mazel of the month of Nisan is the tleh, sheep, lamb. We have to understand why and what that tells us about the month. Now, let's just take a step back for a moment and discuss. What does it mean that every month has a mazel? Because that's something very deep and very esoteric. Shkoyach, every month has a constellation. What does that mean? You know, it's like every state has a flower. Is that what we're saying? And every basically you have the state song, the state flower, the state color. I don't know. The state flag. So every month has its constellation. Is that how every month has its letter? If you learn B'nai Yisrael, you understand these Yisoidas. But what does that mean that every month has its mazel? So wait, what is a mazel? A mazel means that there's a certain way, B'derech HaTeva, that things are going to progress. There's a natural progression, and there's a certain influence in that month that's going to progress in a particular way. And they're kochos, they're abilities that are set up into that month naturally. It's really the Teva of the month, the nature of the month. That's what the mazel means. In fact, if you understand, if you learned a little bit of Derech Hashem, so there, even though we might not understand this, the Ramchal teaches us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilizes the stars as mechanisms to influence the world. And there's a Shefa brought into the world through the Kochavim, through the stars, and through constellations that rule over particular months in the year. But really what it means is there's a certain Teva of the time. What does that mean, there's Teva? It means there's a natural progression. Like in life, there's a natural progression. If lo aleinu, chas v'shom, someone, there's a prognosis that someone's very ill and the doctors say there's no more hope. So the normal progression, the normal natural progression is that they're going to pass away. And normal nature tells us that in the middle of January, it's going to be very cold in New York. This year it's very cold end of March. I don't know what's going on. So I guess we're lamala min ha-teva, or maybe lamata min ha-teva, or min ha-hapachu. Whatever we are. It was shared with me by Chamatabai from Yecheskel, from Mahel Gatamad Yecheskel. Says everything's going to hapachu. So generally, you say that Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, you have to connect to the Yantiv. V'nahapachu, Purim is Shloshim Yom Achar Achag. So we have to be connected to Purim in a very deep way. Love it. Very beautiful. So Teva means there's a natural progression, and every month has its natural progression to it. There are seasons, there's summer, there's winter, there's fall, there's spring, and that means at different times in the year there's a different nature set up. Even though us as Yidden understand that all nature is still the Rabbanu Shalom, that's how the Rabbanu Shalom set up the Seder of the world. That's all Rabbanu Shalom, that's why Gematria HaTeva, the nature, is 86, exactly Gematria Elokim, not with a kuf if you spell it with a hey. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind all of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really orchestrating everything and the master of puppets and doing it all. Look, Metallica for you. You holding out this young? Still?
No.
Good. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Going on tour this summer. Not sure if I'll be there, although I would like to in some ways. Anyways, Lamaisa, we understand that the Rabbanu Shalom really runs the world, but there's a Teva. So an amazing B'nai Sasser that explains how even in the Teva, in the month, and the natural way of the month, the Rabbanu Shalom is there the whole time. The way we judge the month and create the month is based on the Levana in a certain sense, based on the moon. Kiddush HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh is based on the moon, the Levana. B'nai Sasra says, Levana is Gematria 87. If you take Shem Havaya, the name of Hashem, you're going to follow this? You ready, Moshe? This is deep tires. This one I didn't share, the women share. This is deep tires. You ready? Not that they can't handle, but they... Maybe you have it, you'll hear, you'll listen. So, you take Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're going to have to also have a math head for this. Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Shem Hashem in his most revealed fashion, B'giloi, B'rachavim, B'toiv, right? But there are Shemos of Hashem before and after Shem Havaya. And the Yerishon V'Niachron, and before and after as well. Because the Shem Hashem, the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei, meaning if you take each letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei, take the letter before, which is Tes Dalid Hey Dalid. That's also a Shem Hashem. There are a lot of Shemos, deep names. And then that's the name before. There's a name after as well, which would be taking the next letters, which would be Chaf Vav Zayin Vav. It's also a Shem Hashem. Again, I'm not saying I understand the depth of each of these names, but these are Shemos. I remember years ago, Rav Eli Mansour spoke about those names and a little bit of this back in DRS once, many years ago.
2239.
So if you take you take those names, the names that are before and after are more hidden, are deeper, are nister. The name that we know is the revealed name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the other names represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nister, in a hidden way, like Purim. And Yud Kei Vav Kei is Hashem when it comes to Nisan. By the way, the Seraph of Shem Havaya of Nisan, every month has a Havaya, Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in a different order. The only one that's in order, meaning the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei could be scrambled in 12 different ways. Those four letters. The only one that's in order is Nisan, Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sagolar. So, because that's when Hashem's most revealed, like we see by Leil Seder, and we see the Nisim Gluyim of Kriyas Yamsuf and of the Eser Makos. You following with me, Mary? Ready? The letters that are before and after show HaKadosh Baruch Hu Benister. He's hidden. You don't see those letters. By the way, if you add up Tes, Dalet, Hey, Dalet, and Chav, Vav, Zayin, Vav, the letters that are before or after, is Gematria 51. 51, we know in Yeshaya and Perek Memdal, Pazuk Vav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakos, Ani Rishon Vani Achron. I'm before and I'm after. I'm not just when you see me, I'm always. I'm before and after. Ani is Gematria. Ani. 61. Oh. I'm sorry, 61. That's what I meant, 61. And if you add up Tes Dalet, Hey Dalet, Chav Vav, Zayin Vav, is 61. Exactly Gematria Ani. Exactly Gematria Ani. It's Ani Rishon Vani Achron. That's me as well. When I'm hidden, it's me as well. When you don't see me, when I'm hidden in Teva, nature. If you add up all the letters, Chav, Vav, Zayim, Vav, which is after, Tez, Dalet, Hey, Dalet, which is before, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, all that together, 61 or the others, plus 26 is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is 87, exactly Gematria Levana, exactly Moon. I mean, the Levana and the Chodesh tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's revealed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's hidden. Meaning when we see nature and you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so clear because the sun goes up and goes down every day and that's just the nature of the world. And sometimes it rains and sometimes it's cold and sometimes it's warm and sometimes people get sick and sometimes... There's no teva. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Levana, which is the moon that we take and be Mekadosh HaKadosh based on, is exactly Gematria Shem Havaya with the name before and afterwards. You hear this? It's tremendous B'nai Yisachar. I mean, you have to live with B'nai Yisachar if you want to understand months. So let's get back to Tzla. Let's bring it back a little bit. So what's Pshat? What is the month of Tzla, the month of the lamb, the sheep? So what are you going to think? Right away, if we played word association, I forget about the mazel for a moment and just think Nisan, sheep. So what are you going to think right away? Korban Pesach. Vada Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, we all know, was us. The symbolism of Korban Pesach was us shechting the avodah zarah of what? Of the Mitzrim. That's what Korban Pesach was. But listen to how the Ramban says it. The Ramban says it so beautifully. By the mitzvah of Korban Pesach in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel. The Ramban says as follows. Listen, mamish, unbelievable. You ready for this? Big Torahs. Mamish, this is such... I learned this week. I learned this Torah. It's a combination of B'nai Yisachar and Shvila Pinchas and a few different things putting together. I don't remember where, so what. Mom is flying since. It's very rare. Most often, Thursday nights that I also give the women's shir, I don't like to give the same shir. So I like to, first of all, I enjoy the preparation of preparing different shir, number one. Number two, usually you want to say different ideas to different people. It's a bit... And plus, to give the same shir twice in a night for myself is very, very hard. It's not something I'm... But when I saw this and put it together, this Torah, and I put it together, I said, I have to share it with whoever I could share this with. That's why we had to give this Torah. Most of it is similar. So listen to the Ramban. You ready for this Ramban? The Ramban says, Ish sel aves avos, each family has their own sheep, their own lamb. Tam ha-mitzvah zos. What's the reason for Korban Pesach? Bavur ki mazel tle b'chodesh Nisan. The mazel, the constellation of Chodesh Nisan is the tle. B'koicha Agadon has great strength in that month. Ki umazo hatzomeach. And that constellation represents tzmicha. It represents growth. Flourishing. As we know, Nisan is when, generally, the trees start to blossom. We make the bracha, birchas ilanos, the bracha on the trees in the month of Nisan. I was thinking why the tzleh represents that, maybe because of the wool, the that grows on the sheep very much so. Maybe. But then he goes on, L'kach siva lishchot tle, l'ocho so. And then we're commanded, what do we do? We shach that tle. And we eat it. L'odia shalo bik, listen to his words, to make it known. Not just like we think, he gets it, avada, he gets into it later, I'm not going to read you now, but to shech the god of the mitzvah. But more than that, we're l'odia shalo bikoach mazel, to make known that we are not as yidden underneath the mazel, underneath the nature and constellation. Mish, we are not bound by the nature of mazalos, of constellations. We are bound by what? Only what the Rebbe Hashem wants from us. For us. So comes along what we're understanding from the Ramban, that the whole yisoid of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the whole yisoid of Karban Pesach, the whole yisoid of the mazel of Tzleh is not that to tell us we have to understand the Tzleh because that's what rules over this month. Pum faker, just the opposite. The avoid is to say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I'm shechting the mazel. Vada, there's a mazel of every month. There's a nature and a normal progression of the world, but I'm not bound by it. It's meaningless for me because I'm a yid. The Ribbono Shel'Olam's my mazel. The Eibishter's my mazel. And by the Eibishter, there's no such thing as mazel. No such thing as teva. There's no natural way. Whatever is today could be different tomorrow. And we have to believe in that. We have to understand that. And that's why Rosh Chodesh is so important. Specifically, it's not just Tam Rosh Chodesh is important. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this concept that we learn as the Ramban is telling us. And that's Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodashim of all Chodashim. And that's HaChodesh HaLechem Rosh Chodeshim. This month is what I need to teach you first. This is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Not just Rosh Chodesh. This concept that you're not bound by mazel. Every yid needs to know this. Every one of us needs to understand it and believe it. Because you know why? Every one of us is going to go through difficulties in life. It's not a call, it's reality. We're all going to have tragedies. We're all going to have difficulties. We're all going to deal with sicknesses in our life. We're all going to deal with all different types of difficulties. Nisyoinos, trials, tribulations, come shiduchim, and it's not working out so simply, and it's hard. So long that people will make gramen about you. Who knows?
Talking about him, right?
We're not going to talk about anyone. We don't talk about people.
No names.
No, MS is, it's sometimes hard. The difficulties in Nisyoinos. The biggest chizik in the world is to tell us. But you know what? That could change at any moment. Not to get caught up. You know what we get caught up? The worst part of any Nisayon that we deal with, the worst part of the difficulty that we deal with, the trial, the tribulation, is that we feel we're going to be in it forever. If I know it could end or will end tomorrow, I'm cool, I'm good. It's that we feel like we've been in it, this is going to be the teva. This is going to be nature. It's going to progress. It's going to continue. I'm bound by that, the mazel of this mazel. I have bad mazel. We call it luck. I have bad luck right now. This is my mazel. My mazel is going to be in this Nisayon. Terrence is no mazel. Tomorrow it could be completely over because the Eibishter runs the world. And I'm a Yid, so the Eibishter runs my life. How often do we hear stories? We've all heard stories like this. We all, I'm not even tell one specific one, because we all have stories like this of individuals that go into a hospital and are very, very sick, and the doctor, from their chachma, thinks that there's no possible way to find a refuah. But by the goyish of doctors, they're going to tell the yidden, I'm sorry, but you I can't tell anything because by you there's no rules. By you we've seen too many miracles. How many times we hear such stories from the Umat Olam saying such things? Because they know it. They know it already. I'm not talking from us. They know it already. There's no mazalos. There's no such nature in the world. For us. There is, but not for us. Our nature is Eibishter. And we have to live this way. There's no greater chizik. What greater chizik could there be? And who was the first? Where do we find this already? Who's our tata? Who's our biggest tata? The tata of all of us? Avram Avinu. Before even the Zohar. Before Reb Shimon. Avram Avinu. If we think we have the Shalosh Avos. But who was the first of the Shalosh Avos? Avram Ivri. What do we find by Avram Ivri? You know what we find by Avram Ivri? Biderach Teva? He shouldn't have had any children. And definitely not with Sarah. That was the Teva. That's what the Mazalos told him. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in Parashas Lech Lecha, Parak Tezva, Pazuk Hei? Vayotzi Yesu Achut. So he takes him outside. And we've said this all before. What did the Medrash say? Where did he take him outside? He didn't just take him outside. He took him outside the universe, above the stars he took him. He took him above the stars. He says, "Ha'ayomer abein nashmayim, look down at the shemayim. You're above the stars," as if to say, "Avram, you're above the mazalos. You're above the constellations. Don't worry." What does Rashi say over there? He quotes, "Say me'at stigna shulcha, get away from the astrological speculations of your life. Don't worry about that. Shereisa b'malalos, that that you see in the world of mazel, in the world of nature, in the world of constellations. She'ein cha'atid la'amid ben, which tell you you're not going to have a child. Chill, man. You're above the stars. Avram ein lo ben. Maybe Avram won't have a child. Maybe Avram's not going to have a son. Ava Avraham yesh lo ben. Avraham, he's going to have a son. Sarai lo teled. Sarai might not have a child. Ava Sarah teled. Sarah's going to have a child. Ani kor l'cham shem. I'm going to call you a new name. V'yishtana mazel. Change the whole mazel. It's out the window. We'll have to understand. We're going to get to what, why the letter hey specifically. But ultimately what we see again is already from Avraham Avinu, we're above the stars. We're above the kochavim. Maybe that's why we're compared to the stars. I mean, just like the stars have a koyach of creating the teva of the world, we're the same. We're on that same level. We're not bound by them. We could create nature because we have the Eibishter. There's no such thing as mazalos for us. It's one and the same. Because it doesn't mean we're like the stars in number for real. There's an infinite amount of stars. There ain't an infinite amount of jiddin. We're a minute drop in the tip of a yam of the world. We all just learned this already by Purim. This was the whole story of Purim. Chesky said we have to go back to Purim. We're back in Purim. Vada, we have to be in Purim. Purim all year. We spoke about this last week. We have to carry Purim with us. I hope we're all carrying Purim with us. As we said, otherwise Purim was worthless. Chaim Tov, Michel. So we saw Purim. What does Haman do? Haman goes to the world of Mazel. How does he try to destroy us? With a lottery. With a poor lottery. It's all Mazel. We call Mazel also luck. The Derech Teva, nature. Naturally, we should have all been destroyed. There's no way out. But Lamalim and Ateva, we're above that lottery. We're above the Mazel. You know, Chevra, there was an author, a very famous author, from the Umas Olam. And the author, he wrote, he was unbelievable, had unbelievable respect for the Yidden, Baruch Hashem. And he wrote an article praising us and just discussing how great we were. It's very famous, I'm sure many of you have read it. Mark Twain, he wrote an article, an essay called Concerning the Jews. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's incredible. I'm going to read you just one little excerpt. He writes as follows, listen. "The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" You know what Mark Twain was saying? All things are mortal but the Jew. What he really was saying, we understand, is all things have mazel but the Jew. All things naturally, okay, they're here and then they die. And then the Jew is l'malam in a mazel. That's what it means that we're immortal. We're above the normal nature of the world. We're people, we're just people without the mazel of the rest of the world. But the emes is we're not always. The emes is we're not always. Sometimes we are bound by mazel. It depends on our avodah. As the Gemara Megillah, we have to go back to Megillah. Baruch Hashem, Yecheskel taught us. Gemara Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph says, "Umazu meshul ofer meshul kochavim." Our nation, we're compared to dirt and we're compared to stars. Kishen yard and yard and arafer. When we fall, we're not doing it right, we can fall all the way down to the dirt. The dirt and the ground, which is bound by nature. Ukishen oilin, but when we're up, oilin ad l'kochavim. We can mamish reach all the way up to the stars. So when we're doing Oisin Ritzoyna Shalmakom, we're one with Hashem, L'malim min Ateva, L'malim min Amazel, above it all. When we're not, unfortunately, we can be bound by nature. And that's why we do find illness, and we do find natural progressions of this world, and people that have nisyonas and difficulties and don't get out of them the way they should, as Yidden. But we have to believe in the potential, and never get down, and always believe we're l'malim min Amazel, but it's up to us to create that on some level. Listen to this B'nai Saskar, Mamish, another B'nai Saskar. Mamish, I was living this week back with B'nai Saskar. It's hailing, it's amazing, it's a good week. It's a good week when you're living with B'nai Saskar. Just try it. You learn B'nai Saskar this week?
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, Shabbos. Yeah. Oh, big, big. It's big. On Shabbos, that's the beginning of this volume. That's what, yeah.
Off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying we're back to Nisan this way. So B'nai Saskar says, he's discussing these two hanhagos, these two ways of the world, the way of Teva, the way of Mazolos, and the way of L'malim in Teva. And he explains as follows. Listen closely, it's incredible. He says, the world of Teva, of Mazel, is defined by the number 7. This is something, if you learn some Maral in Tiferes Yisrael, he discusses at length, and it's very famous, we all know that. If anyone knows anything about numbers in Yiddishkeit, 7 is Teva, right? Because there are 7 days that created the week, 7 days of the week. 7 represents the natural way of the world. Zayin. What's the L'malim in Teva? I know you're all thinking 8, right? You're Chanukah, Bris Milah, you all know those Torahs. That's not where, that's the Maral. Maral talks about this at length, and that's Torah, which is L'malim in Teva. The Maral talks about it. That's why we got the Torah. Emes says it's true. And we're going to get that, right? That's why we got the Torah on the 50th day after Sfiras Omer. 7 full weeks, and then the 50th day starts the 8th week. It's L'malim in Teva. 8 is L'malim in Teva. But it's really L'malim Teva because of the Koyach HaTorah. And that's what the Maral talks about also in Tiferes Yisrael. The Koyach HaTorah. And Torah is represented and symbolized by the Aleph Beis. The letters from Aleph to Tav. So Aleph to Tav is Torah. Which we spoke about this recently. So our Avodah, the Halig of B'nai Saskar says, you ready? Our Avodah, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, and it comes as avoided to what? To Shecht Mazel. That's what Rosh Chodesh is here for. And specifically Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but that's Rosh Chodesh for all Rosh Chodesh, is to remember this Yisod. So take the Zayin and elevate it by the Torah to L'malim and Teva to destroy all Mazolos of the Chodesh, right? What happens when you have Zayin plus Aleph and Tav? It's Zois. That's Pshat, he says, in Zois Oilas Chodesh Pechadsha. Zois Oilas Chodesh Pechadsha. You want the carbon of the Rosh Chodesh to be? Zois. Zois Oilas Chodesh Pechadsha. That's what we should elevate the Chodesh with Zois. Take the Zion, which is a Meiteva Mazalos, and elevate it through Torah. The Avoida is that we have to understand, if we want to live above nature, it has to be through serious study of Torah and living a life of Torah. Our Rabbeinu Shalom is Takel Barais Baralma. Rabbeinu Shalom looked into the Torah and created the world. So we could recreate anything. Creation and L'malim and Amazel comes from Torah.
It's Nisan. Remote of Nisan, the Tzir of Yisrael Shayim, Seva Arts.
Yeah.
Exact Kamatra, Aleph plus Bilis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. The whole Aleph.
All of it.
All of it.
If you add up the whole Aleph, it's just Mechosh Mayim, Seva Arts. Remote says this. You hear this? Tremendous. So that's Nisan. Oh. So the big tzaddik, Rav Avram Burstein. Rav Avram Burstein, he was a Rav in Tevrig, in Lithuania. Massive Talmud Chacham. Umbel the Torah Shein Kamo. It was World War I. And there was a curfew placed on the city. And part of the curfew was at nighttime, no one was allowed to have any lights on. They're afraid if the lights were on, the enemies could come and attack and see where to bomb. No one was allowed to have any lights on. See, but Rav Avram couldn't keep by such a law. Because Rav Avram needed to learn Torah. Without Torah, it wasn't worth living. So he'd put on a small little light and learn Torah. And one night, the soldiers were walking around and they saw the light on. They barge into his home and into his room and they start screaming and yelling at him. And he starts explaining, I was just learning, don't worry. He says, no, you're a spy. They thought he was a spy for the enemies. They start telling him, he tries to get his way out. They say, that's it, we decided you're a spy, we're killing you right now. And they take out the gun, the battle, and they say, can I have one last request? you know what? You could have one last request. What's your last request? And Rav Avram says, could I have 15 more minutes? You see, Rav Avram in the middle of learning, and he was stuck on he had a shver kasha on the Rambam. And he couldn't leave the world without figuring out the Rambam. He says, could I have 15 more minutes so that he could learn the Rambam? And they said, sure, you can have 15 more minutes. And he sits down and he starts steiging in the Rambam. Imagine. That's what he wanted. He couldn't leave the world without it. He loved it so much. He wanted it so much. Mamish, the sweetest thing in the world, the most special thing in the world. A few minutes into learning the Rambam, Mamish, sirens start going off. The enemies were coming. All the soldiers barge out and leave him with his Rambam forever. B'derech teva, he should be dead already. They should have killed him on the spot, not even given him the request. And even if they gave him the request, run away, they couldn't just quickly shoot him. B'derech teva, b'derech mazolos, he doesn't live. But when you're connected to Torah, we live a life, we're not bound by mazolos. We're not bound by teva. B'derech drush, the Magen Meshurim of Kodesh says, that's what we could say, is b'derech drush, the Gemara in Shabbos, daf lamed aleph of a base. The Gemara is there at the bottom discussing, I'm sure you've seen this, and you know this, you've heard of it. After Mayav Esrim, after 120, we go up to Shemayim, and there are questions that are going to be asked to us. And one of the first questions, there are a couple of different Gemaras that seem to have the order a little different. But one of the first questions, Vad, is going to be, Kavat Itim LaTorah. Pashup Shah means, did you set aside serious time to learn Torah? Every day of your life, Kavat Itim LaTorah. Do we have permanent, I don't mean just that we learn, Kavat Itim. Do we have set time in our day? I've set time to daven, I've set time to learn, I've set time to eat. I have to be, how could I not? I've set time, I'm a ben Torah. If I get to learning, I'll learn. And that ben azmanim as well. Vada ben azmanim, not if, when. Okay, ben azmanim, maybe it's less time set up, and hopefully if you learn more. But ben azmanim as well. We often have seder hayom. Every day, when time, I know I'm learning during this specific time. Kavat yitim Torah. But derech drush, to make it misharim, learns a little differently. He says, maybe it means, through Torah, did you koveh itim? Did you define the time in the world? Meaning, Rosh Chodesh, not based on mazalos, not based on teva. Kavat itim, based on Torah. Were you learning Torah so that you create the mazal of the world? What a chizuk. The emes is all that we're saying right now, it's a beferish zor. It's a mamish of beferish zor. The zor in Parshas Pinchas. Listen to the words of the Zohar. It's incredible. You can hear, we could have just read the Zohar and not said all of Shir. Because, no, first of all, it would have been probably just as much chizuk as the Zohar. But it's amazing to hear the whole Shir and then see that just all that we were saying was the words of the Zohar. Listen, it's just an incredible Zohar. Tachazi. Come and see. The whole world, everybody in the world, before the Torah was given to the world, have a talion b'mazala. They were dependent on mazal, on nature, on constellations. Even the life and the parnasa, the sustenance of children. Of a buzzer, this yihavis or Israel. After the Torah was given to Bnei Israel, apik lon mechiyuvet chachvayim mazale. We've been uprooted and left the world of the stars and the world of the constellations. We're no longer bound by it. Avram, we learn this all from Avram. Begin to have a atidim benoy lekabla hey me Avram. Because what do we know? That we all are going to receive that same hay from Avram. What's that same hay? What's that hay that was, remember we asked earlier? Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Vinu, your teva, your mazel is meaningless because once I add the hay, it's going to change. Why the hay? So now we know from the Zohar, the I Chamishi Chumshet Torah, the hay that tells you we're not bound by mazel is the Torah, because when you have Torah, you're not bound by mazel. And when you have Torah, he goes on, Amar Lavram begin hay desoyzu b'shimcha Hashemayim tachtoch l'kol chavayim mazal tehirim b'Hashem. Once you have that hay, once you have Torah, not only are you above the mazalos, they're all bound to you. You control nature. We begin the Chumash. Tadu b'raisa batul menei chiyuvi dechachvayim mazalei. And when is it that when you learn Torah, you get rid of all your mazel? Only if you learn it and you keep it. Not just I learn it because I want to say I went to a shir. Learn it for intellectual stimulus. I have to learn it and live a life of Torah as well. I have to learn Torah and live Torah. If you don't learn Torah, or you learn it and you don't keep it in the proper way, you're back to be bound by mazolos and the normal nature of the world. What unbelievable Zohar. Everything we just said. To understand that we're lemalim in amazel, but only if I put in the shtadlus in Torah. That's the hay of Avraham. We said Levano is Gematria 87. Which we've said is Gematria Shem Havaya with the name before and after. But 87 happens to be also one more than Hateva, the nature. Because when you create the Rosh Chodesh, you connect to Rosh Chodesh in the proper way, I'm above nature. Because Rosh Chodesh is all about, as we said in the Ramban, shechting the mazel of the Chodesh. That's the Yisoid. I'm getting rid of the mazel of the Chodesh. 87 is also Gematria Bapeh, B'nei Yisoshka said, with your mouth. Through the Torah that you learn with your mouth. That's how we get rid of all mazelos. Each and every one of us, we have to connect to Torah in the deepest of ways and recognize through that I'm lamalim in kol hamazalos. Every one of us, I know, every one of us, we have our difficulties. If it's not by us, it's by people that we're very close to, that have machlos, that have serious sicknesses, that are struggling in. It's a sickness also when you're struggling in ruchnias. How many of us, who here doesn't have somebody they're close to that's struggling in ruchnias, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, that we're so davening what we want, that's also a tragedy. When it comes to parnasa, when it comes to shiduchim, when it comes to having children, when it comes to raising children. But don't get caught up and think, chas v'shalom, we're bound by teva. You're going through an isayon, you have to believe it could all change any moment, because the Rabbanu Shalom, there's no teva here. It's not going to naturally progress the way it seems. As long as I connect to Torah, as long as I'm mechazik myself in Torah. Just to end with a big story. I read this recently, but I read it also a while ago. Chacham Avad Yosef, Tzadik Yisoid Olam, Lusvar Shachacham there. I know, but we don't know. You know, but you don't know. The Maisa of the biggest, if not the biggest, Talmid Chacham of Aradar. Kol HaTorah Kulo on his fingertips. Anyone in this room ever meet him? Anyone ever see him? Elio? Yeah? I had the schus to see him a few times in my life. Although I don't have the schus to have a picture with him. You know, Chever knows that I take a lot of chizik and take a lot of chizik from pictures with the Gedolim. It really brings me back to meeting a Gadol and to try to aspire to be like that Gadol. It reminds me of that meeting, of the chizik that I received, which is very special. I still haven't had the opportunity and time to put up the pictures in this house yet, like we had in the old bias, but Mirtz Shem, Bekarov Mamish. Chacham Vadya, I met a few times today. I still to this day, I told you a story. Years ago, so I went to him a few times to daven with him and just to see him. Years ago, once I took a few talmidim with me and we davened with him, and he used to daven. He had a base medrash in the bottom floor of his apartment building in Harnof over there. And we davened with him. I duchened right next to him, for him. And then he would always, after davening, say a Dvar Halacha. But they'd like corner him off with like shtenders. You couldn't like get near him. So he'd say the Dvar Halacha, and then he'd escape through like a little door right next to the Aron over there. But then if you were standing right in front, you got to quickly just give him a quick shalom, you know, as he was walking past. And not just give him a shalom, but svarad and by the chachamim, what do we do? You give a kiss to his hand, obviously. So one time I was ready for this. So I took with me a Talmud who will remain nameless right now. He knows who he is. He's not in this room. Although he used to be in this room in the old house every Thursday night for a long time. And so he had a camera, and he was like over here, and I'm over here, like ready and waiting for Chacham Avad to come, and I take Chacham Avad's hand, and I give him a kiss on his hand, and I hold the kiss. I'm telling you, it must have been at least 10 seconds, right? I'm holding him hostage. I'm holding the gadol because I want to give enough time to know for sure there are a few pictures taken, something good. We'll get it for the wall and give me the chizik and some mamish. I'm like holding him there. People must have been already like, what is going on? I'm like, mamish, like, his hand, my mouth, one for a while. Yeah, to all the kissings of the chachamim. And finally, I feel like, okay, I'm good to go. It had to be. So I let him go. And he goes, he gets into his room. So then we go outside. I'm like, oh, I gotta see. Let's see the goods. Let's see the picture. He says, Rebbe, I don't know, I just froze. I couldn't. I saw Chachavadja and you're kissing him. I don't know, I couldn't take the picture. I didn't believe him. Like, what? I look at the guy, no picture. So that was it. Shem Yerachim. To this day, I still haven't forgiven for that. I love him. He's married with three kids, Baruch Hashem. He's amazing. I love him. But Lameisa, it's hard to forgive him for that. It's hard. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Chacham Avadja, about 7 years before he passed away, before he was Nifter, he was complaining of terrible stomach pains. He was really in tremendous pain. And his son, Rabbi David, took him to the doctor and they went and checked him out and did all types of tests and they realized he needs immediate surgery. Serious surgery. Emergency surgery. But they told him, because of his age and his condition, they didn't want to give him anesthesia. They said it wouldn't be good because of his age and he would be in the anesthesia a very long time, weeks after. He wouldn't want it. He said he could handle the surgery, it's just going to be extremely painful. They told Chacham Avadja, and Chacham Avadja said, Zayislicha la'avonot shali, whatever avonot they were, I don't know, on his level. And he was going through it. They get to the hospital the next day, whatever it was, and his son, Rabbi David, was with him. The doctor says to Rabbi David, I think it's a good idea if you stay outside. Your father, the Chacham, he's going to be in terrible pain. You don't want to see this. It's going to be really painful. It's going to be only a half hour, but terrible pain. He might be screaming and yelling and just stay outside. Don't even stay near the door. So they're about to have the surgery, start the surgery. And Chacham Avadja says to the doctor, you know, I know it's going to be a lot of pain. What do you maybe is it okay if I learn during, maybe it will distract me a little bit? So the doctor says, sure, no problem. And he had with him his Gemara Baba Basra. And he's learning Baba Basra during the surgery. This is what he's doing during the surgery. And his son's outside. He didn't listen. He went outside, but he was listening. He doesn't hear anything. 10 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by, half hour, 40 minutes, finally they come and get him, bring him in. He didn't hear a peep. He looks and he sees his father laying there still reading, learning Gemara. The doctors say, it was successful, Baruch Hashem was great, and we just don't understand. Your father didn't make one peep, he didn't move, it was killed, nothing was happening. I don't know what happened, maybe the anesthesia just came in without our permission, we don't even understand. So he goes, he says, Abba, Abba. Chavadja finally looks up from his Gemara. Chavadja looks to his son, he says, "No, are they going to start the surgery already? What are we waiting so long for?" He didn't feel a thing of a serious surgery without any anesthesia. Because when you're learning Torah and you're one with Torah, you're mamish l'mala min ha-teva, you're l'mala min ha-mazalos, things are not normal. Bez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zoicha, each and every one of us in the schus of Chodesh Nisan, in the schus of Rosh Chodesh, to shecht all the mazalos of this world, to recognize that we're not bound by nature, we're above it all, the Rabbanu Shel Olam by our side, but we have to mamish revitalize and be mischazik, our Torah, mischazik, our mitzvahs, that tzchus will be l'malo min ha-teva, in all of the nisyonis that we have, the prat, and the mirtz Hashem, the teva that's been in the world, the mazal that's been in the world for so many generations, of galus, that tul be nepach, miyagel nesimcha, B'Nisan, Bez Hashem is Baruch, we're entering into Nisan, and Nisan, Chazal say, B'Nisan was the Gula, B'Nisan Atidin Ligoel. In the future we have Gula, so Bez Hashem will be Zoicha, with the Rabbeinu Shalom by our sides, with the Gula Shleimu, Mashiach Zakeinu, B'Meher B'Yameinu.
Amen.